This is Michael Eric Dyson. When I'm in the Oakland, Berkeley, San Francisco area, and I want to hear the real deal, I listen to Hard Knock Radio with my man Davey D. You heard?
Color me softly. Color me softly. Color me softly with that same damn song. Stacks of wax, 55 high, full of tracks. New cats, jacking beats from way back. Pay for play, only way to get them platinum plaques. Clear the racks, job is slobbing you for tax. Robbery, A&R snobbery. Killing me softly with that same damn song. Making folk dumb in the summer, a bummer. When they shot Willie in that Hummer. Keep it simple, stupid means numbers. Payola dough, wide on black radio. Running on empty, help go to desperado. So I bomb the times of Negroes who pray the cash flow. So I pray no info to the mass, they shake their asses. No clue, but I can't get my shit up into you. Crayola, with that same old shit. Crayola, with that player shit. Crayola, with that kid crayon shit. Crayola, with them old spray-on hits. Crayola, with that same old shit. Crayola, with that player shit. Crayola, with that kid crayon shit. Green Crayola, with them old spray-on hits. Up ways must
now
fall.
The industry can't stop me. A vendetta to make the whole game better. They get the cheddar. All I got is a f***ing letter. What I owe, what am I? Another number in a hole? They don't know. Time to see them go like dominoes. About time, cause they endorse the crime
shallow,
up in the rhyme.
Shallow.
Got these new souls control going out of their mind. Miss what I said cause they don't even own their own heads. Go one, go all. I forgot they made robots out of some of y'all. Today all f***ed up ways must fall. Today is up against the wall, misled in the head by quiet storms and love songs. Nodding heads too hollow, forgotten tomorrow. Swallowing all that shit that's shallow.
Give
a baby anything the baby wants, but that's how them bastards get us up in them caskets. Try to get me where they want me before some of them jump me. Go tell them I'm a star of rebellion. Educate the felons, easy on. But tell me what the am I yelling? No telling. You got them artists and artificials. If it ain't right, I don't give a damn if it's selling. Recruits chasing and racing for that loot. Use the usual drum loop, so I salute my troops.
Run.
I don't socialize, I mingle out the promotionals. You know what? And that goddamn single. And the marketing team, for that matter, it don't matter. DJs getting dimes with time on the platter. I ain't gotta be hijacked, so I hijack. FM radio, F them. Turn it around, motherfucker. Gotcha. Queens the bitches. Race against time, see them all running for the riches. Everything had its chance, last dance. Some things change like them weather forecasts.
Crayola,
funny how don't last. Crayola, with that same old
Crayola, with that player.
Davey D hanging out with you this afternoon, sitting in front of me, the one and only, the rhyme animal, the legend himself, Mr. Chuck D. And I definitely had to talk to you on a number of things. First of all, we're in Boston, Massachusetts at the Hip Hop Archives. But the first thing I got to talk to you is because you've been embroiled in the middle of the big controversy that showed up on CNN. D.L. Hughley, Rush Limbaugh, Michael Steele, and the Republicans' attempts to hip-hop-nize, if that's a word, the Republican Party. Your thoughts on that and the controversy that ensued from that?
Number one, I'm on TV. I'm not trying to be famous, so I'm not going to be part of three black men screaming on the TV so the producers could be happy and get ratings. I was very grateful and thankful I could be on D.L. Hughley's show. He's somebody as a comedian and entertainer that I always thought had some great wit, and he was kind of funny to me. And so therefore, doing the show, it was the answer to the question, can hip hop be used as a galvanizing force for the Republican Party? And the answer was like, well, hip hop shouldn't be used for anything that got something to do with ulterior motives by an organization to try to get people corralled to their corner. I just thought that the answer was no. And if that was my answer, if somebody pretty much they asked that question, that's all I really wanted and should have just, you know, should have just said. I was just sitting there like, I gave my answer, you know. But it's TV, and I was prepared to answer anything else they had coming my way. So when Michael Steele was just talking, it was like, okay, let him keep talking. And he kind of talked himself into a hole. And not to, you know, salute Republicans or Democrats or anything for that matter, I made sure I mentioned Rosa Clemente and Cynthia McKinney's accomplishments on trying to get the Green Party in the mix. But, you know, we could not allow ourselves to stoop to the stupidity of the chance of John McCain and Sarah Palin being the president or vice president of the United States and thinking we as a demographic of black people and people of color think it would be better in the next 4 years with them at the helm, as opposed to somebody who promised to the country and to the world that he was going to, you know, upgrade the nation. And although he made no instant concessions to black people, you have to be a dumbass not to look at him and say, I'm inspired to get the most out of myself and instead of trying to figure out what this man could do for me. So simple the fact of the matter is that when I think of President Obama, I think of somebody who's raised a standard. He's raised the standard. He possesses the qualities that rappers used to have. He moves and commands the crowd. He has a great voice. He's powerfully eloquent. He means what he says, and he goes to work. And that's those are the qualities that kind of brought me to understanding he was the man of the moment. And when Michael Steele was up there saying that he was Barack Obama before Barack Obama, that was the one time I thought I was going to say something. But I was like, okay, you know, let him dig his own hole. Because that, I mean, really, you ain't got an answer to that. Right. You know, it's like, come on now, dude.
Well, you know, let me ask you, you know, in the age of Obama, which is what people are looking at, there was a belief that a lot of the racism would disappear, that because he was trying to be inclusive of everybody, that people would get it. And what we've seen is an unprecedented amount of attacks, not just on him, but we're talking about 11 or 12 police shootings, including the Oscar Grant in Oakland, Andre Grimes in Louisiana, the guy in Mississippi, Annette Garcia in Los Angeles, Riverside. And we're seeing all these attacks coming left and right, left and right. What do you think is happening, you know, and using your perspective of one who's traveled around the world, is this something that was in the making or is this a reaction to a black man being in charge?
Yeah, a lot of things are unraveling right now. And the racism has exacerbated to the point where people won't be able to control themselves or control their emotions on the reality of what it is right now. If they held back from emotionally hating on it, I think those things will really come out to fruition when certain circumstances in this country kind of put everybody on the same level looking at each other and unemployment, educational problems, when it comes down to having these economic situations all over across the board. And the banks, you know, foreclosing and healthcare being questioned, you know, and then people also questioning where their hard-earned money, if they do have that, where is that going?
We're going to catch the blame as black folks?
I would tell everybody, pay attention. That's the two-word motto that I'm telling everybody. Pay attention and stay awake. Even when you sleep, keep one eye open. You know, your third eye start to put that to work. And, you know, you just got to be able to kind of think outside the box. And the box being the United States of America, just think outside the box. I think it would be wise for people to try to attempt to get a passport just to have it. That doesn't mean, oh, man, okay, come to state of emergency. You know, we got places. If you don't have an idea what the world is like, don't think you're going to escape to any one place. But get one anyway to introduce you to a world state of mind. If Nas introduced the world of hip-hop to a New York state of mind in the 90s, it's time to go way beyond that in the 09 and in the 10. And so, therefore, as it all boils down, it's like, yes, Barack Obama is the president of the United States of America, and what does this mean to you?
Let me ask you this. You know, recently KRS-One came into Texas, hooked up with the Prison Planet people, Alex Jones in particular, and he's been on a mission, you know, putting out DVDs and videos. I spoke Alex to him. No, KRS, yeah, to inform everybody. And you've heard this criticism that Obama is the face of imperialism, that he's basically leading the masses down a cliff, and this man should not be trusted. In fact, he's more dangerous because he seems so likable and eloquent and all that. You know, you and Chris being pillars coming out of, you know, the Afrocentric era in hip-hop, Do you see where he's coming from? Do you break bread with that, or is there a difference of opinion?
There's a difference of opinion, but as far as the reality and all this is, like, what Chris is saying is right. What I'm saying is different, and what I'm saying is that if that's the case, pay attention to every little thing, regardless of the fact. Even if he's the third incarnation of the devil, what has that got to do with you trying to do you to the best of your abilities and even helping your surroundings or understanding your surroundings? So, yes, even if it's preventive, knowing in sports, if something prevents you, you have to figure out ways, if you can't go through it, how to get around it. And it's not just for yourself. It's like the community got to go forward. When you fight the power and you fight for the community, you definitely got to come up with some kind of method that redefines what fighting is going to be, and you still be able to survive. Look, I'm not getting into a semantic thing here or there. The bottom line is that we have some inevitables that can happen on this planet that go beyond anything on a social scale. And that goes into, if the climate continues to go out of whack, we don't know how far it can go out of the whack, where our survival is guaranteed. We don't know. I mean, the planet will be here. We don't know what'll take it out of whack into making it very difficult for those that who are definitely those that have not. The poorer of the world will disappear. We've got simple things. Lack of water. Dirty water is the killer of the third world. You can't grow proper food. There's health situations that are wiping out, you know, hundreds and thousands and up to millions of people if we don't figure that out. It's a mutated existence. So me going on to the left of a metaphysical answer is saying that we have to figure out how we pay attention and how we sometimes tell people who at first at risk, which are in our surroundings, how to stay awake. You know, I think in during the Clinton years, people got carried away thinking and calling them, I mean, such dumb things like the first black president, just because it sounded like it was sort of black, William Jefferson Clinton. I mean, stop. You know, people was like throwing, in hip hop, they were throwing money at the cameras like there wasn't enough of it. You know, people.
Can you imagine people doing that now during the recession?
You know, nothing but the Benjamins and chicks with cigars on top of tables. That was the jazz era. That was the jazz age of the 20s. Now we are witnessing the Great Depression. And the Great Depression is not a financial depression. What it is a depression of people who can't understand their surroundings or understand the realm that we are now within. They are depressed within. So how do we break people out of the Great Depression? It's not a financial thing. This is an inner thing, and I think that's also what Chris is talking about. Don't give in to the Great Depression without realizing the overstanding and the understanding of your surroundings.
We've been talking with Chuck D, Public Enemy. We're here in Boston, Massachusetts, just building with him for a few minutes before he bounces on out of here.
Well, another important thing is that all you got to do is check out KRS-One's loudest records from even way back and up to the present. He's just telling people to wake up and telling people to wake up. If he's got to kind of like hurt your feelings on something that you just think is a pipe dream, that you're going to sit your ass back down and think that President Obama is going to do it for you, you got another thing coming to you. I'm not going to say that that he's the axis of evil, knowing that this existence has been built from the axis of evil. We live in the United States of America. I don't believe in countries and governments as much as I believe that the world is one. But I could be looked upon as like, okay, you're too much. It would get this utopian thing up out of you. This is reality. So I got to have my foot planted in reality as my foot is planted in a vision of a better future. And I think we have to take the inspiration of a dude who probably was told it was impossible, that looked inside himself, and granted, you know, the people he was running against almost made it look like it was a flop, a free fall. They couldn't come up with anybody better. So it's almost like you zoomed ahead, but the competition that you had to run against was a big joke, John McCain and Sarah Palin. And so it's like, okay, but that's this position that he's in as a president of the United States. What does this tell us? What it tells me is like, I can't talk about me being tired. I can't talk about, oh man, I'm getting all these phone calls today of people that want to, you know, do something. I have to become a person to at least think that this dude has got to work 10 days a week in 36 hours a day. And he's sacrificed his family to do this work for a place that is giving him no guarantees other than the fact that he's made probably one of the most significant marks on history as a first than anybody we've known in our lifetime. So with that in mind, it sparks the initiative in me to continue to yell to people and tell them to stay awake, wake up, pay attention before you even think that you can fight the power. You can't fight the power of sleep.
That's real talk right there. You know, one of the questions we've been asking is we've been looking at the role of hip-hop over the years. And just remembering that when you came out, you said one of your goals was to raise 5,000 new leaders. With the election of Obama and actually leading up to it, you went to the National Hip-Hop Political Convention, you know, you spoke there. There's a big question about hip-hop being a social movement. What does that look like? And so we want to revisit that question. Is hip-hop a movement? If so, is it the right kind of movement? We have enough time and energy and data to look at the movements of Marcus Garvey, the Civil Rights Movement, the Black Arts Movement, and others. 2009, are we a movement? And if so, how is that manifesting itself? And if not, what do we need to do?
Well, hip-hop is a world movement, so it's best for us to figure out how we can align with the momentums of the rest of the world and figure out what our place is in the rest of the world. And, you know,
What do you mean when you say it's a world movement?
Well, in every single country I've been to, and that's about 65 of them, that the energy from people involved in hip hop has gone beyond just let's snap our fingers, have a good time, and go home and not think about what we did. It's always been a voice to figure out and say, okay, you know, we're having a great time, but we could come back and still, you know, play our role, be in our zone. If we're 13 years old, you know, we could shake and finger pop or whatever they used to say. But if we're 36 years old, you got an accountability and responsibility to come back and do something. Oh, is it based on how many jobs are you giving? No. Is it based on how much money you giving people? Nope. Is it based on maybe sometimes communicating to a lot of younger people if you're older? Yes and no. Maybe if a person might not be gifted communicating to you, but you have to do something when you grow. And I've seen a lot of grown folks, and they might have a complaint about whatever. I'm like, dude, you know, you sitting on the porch at 2:00 in the afternoon watching BET TV. Granted, you ain't got no job, but you ain't got no grass on your front lawn either. Sitting there smoking a cool and you walk past a flattened potato chip bag for the last 2 weeks. Can you at least put inside your mindset that, you know, it's not going to start unless you make a, you know, significant start. Pick up that potato chip bag and at least clean up your surroundings. You know, like they said, like, you know, things that make sense, common sense from back in the days, like, you know what, before you go outside, comb your hair and wash your ass. You know, you got people that haven't had that said to them ever. So they actually think that you know, something got to come along and baby them into an area of convenience or comfort. And we got to totally tell people that this is not 2009, 10, 11, 12 is not going to be years of convenience and comfort. It's just going to be an era of, you know, your bed is what you make it. And you might not have all the tools to make it. So maybe your surroundings will help you make it when you know, connect with them.
You know, we asked this question to the class that I teach at SF State. And I had asked folks in the class if they thought hip hop was a movement. Many people said they thought it was. And they had a lot of far-ranging opinions. Some people thought it was a movement because everybody got along. The races came together. People liked the same music, you know, concerts and entertainment. I asked everybody if they liked Dead Prez. Most of the 200 people in the class raised their hand. Asked them if they liked Mos Def. They raised their hand. Asked them what they thought of Public Enemy. They all raised their hands. Then I asked the class, how many people are involved with the San Francisco 8, the attempts to get them off of trial, you know, to free the SF-8? Nobody raised their hand. Ask them if they thought about political prisoners, police brutality, you know, again, not a lot of answers. And I asked some of the older people who said, you know, when you said fight the power in 89, a lot of people took that seriously and joined organizations and followed up and really tried to get with something. When we contrasted that with the Black Arts Movement, same thing. What has happened with the newer generation where these things, you know, they say that they really are into these artists like yourselves, but they're not really following the dictates and the things that you all are talking about. They're not taking up the causes that you all have spoken so eloquently about, both in song and in real life.
Because the arts made it easy. The arts made it easy to jump and say, well, I like this record. I like what they're touching upon. And I'll wait before I want to actually go further with the detail. Organizations that are really clear, that's their responsibility to be able to simplify it enough to get the energies of people involved in their agendas and trying to make it easier for the community. I mean, I talked about organizations that I favored that was trying to do a thing, and people, I mean, even when I talked about the Nation of Islam and what they was trying, what they tried to do and what they did accomplish, meaning getting a lot of black men from hustling on the streets and cleaning them up as far as this is how you should carry yourself by knowing about yourself. Before, you know, and it either could have got into a religious discussion, it could have got into an organizational discussion, it could have got into a let's say a community discussion or whatever, if I didn't mention that before. The thing about it, that organization was to then reveal its protocol on how to go about certain changes, and it's still up to the individual whether they want to go deeper and further into it. And of course, those organizations, if they're going to be able to so-called, quote-unquote, save people, save men from the streets, you can't be long-winded with a whole bunch of things that's going to confuse them. You got people that understand that, and you got tier ranking that comes in and figures out if it's cool for them to soldier in that regard. I don't think a lot of organizations have worked in the regard of simplifying movements for young people coming in, the common person coming up and trying to understand themselves. And so therefore, I think the complexities scare people away, and there's not enough organizations that are able to simplify their movement for the masses. So I think music was able to be that great introduction. That next layer was those organizations that existed. And a lot of those movers and shakers came from the 60s and the 70s that were still trying to fill their structures in the 80s and the early 90s. I mean, although they had their old ways, like the SCLC and the Urban League, NAACP, they had structures that were set up that kind of like did real talk, real things. All they needed was the youthful energy and some kind of adjustment as time went forward. But we've had kind of those organizations have drifted off into their agenda. And not to say that they're less relevant. I think they're further apart from each other. And they're further apart from the people. And the thing, and also the music is further away from the people as well. So all these things have kind of like scattered in its own direction out there. And whereas the conditions of R&B, that's Reagan and Bush in the 80s, kind of had everybody kind of nestled together with similar complaints. So therefore, organizations could be simple and their I guess, their recruitment or their encroachment of coming upon getting people's interests.
We've been talking with Chuck D. I know you got to get ready and bounce, so we're going to get ready to let you roll.
Yeah, to the point where we had a great session tonight. He had the Hip Hop Archives. He had Harvard, and that's a beautiful, beautiful archive and data system that everybody should be able to visit virtually. What do you say at virtually, Dawn? HipHopArchives.com?
HipHopArchive.org.
Oh, HipHopArchives.org.
We appreciate that. Can I get a drop from you?